Hello, amazing folks. Welcome to another interesting episode of the podcast show, Trivia Talks. In today's episode, we have with us Kamali Mehta, who is founder and designer of Kamali Couture, which is Delhi-based designing company. In today's episode, ma'am will be talking about her passion, which is designing. From finding it to executing it, ma'am will be talking about each and every aspect of it. She will be also talking about two very important parts of her life, which is entrepreneurship and mentorship. Currently, ma'am is guiding those students who are not clear about their future goals and are trying or hustling in their life. So this episode will be helpful for those who are stuck in their life with no clear vision. So this episode will be helping you a lot in finding the right path towards your direction. So without any further ado, let's start this amazing and interesting discussion with Kamali Mehta. Let's go. Well, hello, ma'am. Welcome to Trivia Talks. It's an honor having you on the show. Thank you so much for joining in.
Thank you so much for having me, Tarun.
So, ma'am, beginning with your journey as a designer. So my first question to you is how you started your journey as a designer?
So I was always creative as a kid. I loved experimenting with all kinds of materials like glass, metal, flowers, ribbon, whatever it might be. And I could convert anything into something creative. And I realized that about myself at a very early age. I think I was around 10 or nearing 11 when my mom decided to have a conversation with me regarding my future and, you know, the career path that I wanted to take. And she actually wanted me to become a CA, which I absolutely said no to because books, numbers, and, you know, sitting in an office was not my cup of tea. And to be honest, I really didn't want to work. But she made it very clear that, you know, I was not going to be just another housewife or, you know, I had to do something that was more constructive with my life. And that is where the journey actually began because I looked inside or I looked within to understand what is it that I liked doing, which would be minimum effort for me, but maximum result in terms of if I was going to spend 10 to 12 hours working in a day, what is it that I would like to do, which would not make me feel, you know, that I was working for 10 to 12 hours. And the first thing that came to my mind was I had to choose something creative. And I started with a list of different professions, you know, kind of analyzing them as to what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a wedding planner. I wanted to be an interior designer. I wanted to be a hairstylist. And I wanted to be a clothing designer. So when I sat down with each career, you know, thinking of the pluses and the minuses, I think eventually I moved to clothing because that was also a stage where I was developing my personality at the age of 10 to 12. And I was, and I always designed my clothes. So then I said, well, this comes so easy to me. Why shouldn't I convert this into a profession? And that's how it started.
Okay. So ma'am, I wanted to understand it. Like 10 years of age is very, you know, very early to decide about your career, right? So when you were analyzing in respect to different paths and different industries, so how like what was your procedure to, you know, analyze like this industry is not for me, this is for me, this is my calling?
That's a very interesting question. At 10, I did not think that I was young. I think I was always very mature for my age in the way I thought. And I always thought that, you know, your life should have a purpose. I haven't come on this earth to just be somebody else. So that was my guiding thought. And while I was thinking about, okay, if I haven't come on this earth to be just somebody else, then who can I be? And I used to keep questioning myself about this. And I used to study other people or famous people who had kind of been successful. And I noticed that a lot of the actors and actresses were very, very young when they joined the industry, like 16 or 17, you know, and that meant that they had conditioning or they had a prior commitment to what they were going to become from an age of 8 or 9. So you can't become an actress at 17 if you don't know how to sing or dance or emote. And so they obviously must have practiced all of that before joining the industry. So I started calculating backwards, you know, that if at 21 I want to start my career, what is it that I need to do? From the age of 10 or 12, I was lucky that when I chose to become a designer, my mother was already in this profession. She was linked to it. She was not a designer, but she was linked to it. So I would assist her every day after school and visit all the factories of the designers and understand what the work was about, understand what it takes to actually be a designer. Because for me, it was not the glamour that attracted me to this line. It was always, how can I convert fabric into an outfit that can help somebody look better or change their image? So I always wanted to do something in which I could influence people, you know, and I thought that clothing was one such line in which I could influence people because I could change the way they saw themselves in the mirror just by changing the outfit that they were wearing. So I think there were a lot of thought processes that went through my mind from the age of 10 to 18 before I registered myself into a professional college. And I really didn't think of myself as young. Mm-hmm. I thought that is the kind of thought process that is required. If you want to do something in life, then you need to know why you are doing it and what is it that you want from that profession. And I just didn't want to be somebody who would go to office and come back in the evening. I couldn't see myself doing that.
Wow, that's an amazing dedication, you can say. So ma'am, I wanted to understand this also, like how your dedication helped you build Kamali Couture.
So I think once you realize what your calling is or what you're interested in doing, you really don't need to be dedicated to it. It just comes naturally. You can put me in a factory for multiple days without food and water and I'll be very happy being there because I love seeing the process of fabric getting converted into a garment and the garment finally being worn by somebody, you know, and them looking in the mirror and saying, oh my God, I could have never have imagined that I could look this way. So I always chase the feeling behind what I'm doing. And that feeling, that knowing of that, you know, that I can help somebody or I can change the way somebody looks at themselves in the mirror, just helped me, you know, pass every day. I don't think dedication is something I cannot use for myself. I think it was just the love for what I was doing. It just came naturally. Everything just came naturally. So if you ask me, I don't think I dedicated time and effort. It's just something that I wanted to do every single waking day of my life.
Right. So as we follow our passion, the path is not that smooth, right? Even if you are following the passion, the path having ups and downs, and that's very common. So during following your passion, like which was your biggest failure and what was your learning while achieving that particular passion of yours?
Okay. So after I finished college, I started my label immediately. And I was able to do that because I had a ready audience. All my friends, I was already designing clothes for all my friends. I was already designing for all my mother's friends. So I thought that if I launched my label, I would have a ready audience. But my taste was something that they had never experienced, right? I was designing clothes for them based on their taste. When I launched my first collection, it bombed. I was 22 or 23, I think. And it completely bombed because my taste is very simple, very minimalistic. And I don't think my client base wanted that. They wanted jazzy stuff. They wanted glamour. They wanted fashion from me because they had seen me growing up with this passion. And I sat back and I thought about what had happened because I had invested almost every penny that I had, which was around 80,000 at that time. And I said to myself, okay, there are two routes that you can take. Either you can struggle by launching a collection which is purely based on your taste, or you can take the time out, understand the market, and then launch a collection for them. And I decided to do the latter. So I took 3 years off I started a tailoring unit instead of launching my own collection. And I made clothes for my entire colony, my friend circle, my mother's friend circle, my sister's friend circle, extended relatives, literally at cost or at no profit, just to understand the taste of the market. Based on all of that experience, I then launched my collection at the age of 25. And the minute I launched it, it was a super hit. Every exhibition wanted me to be part of, you know, their exhibition. Every store wanted me to be part of their store. So everything went on smoothly. That was just the beginning. There were a lot of hurdles that I did cross during my, you know, 10, 15 years in this line. But my eye was on the final goal. What is it that I want to achieve before I die? Or what is it that my brand needs to kind of say to the world? So that was always there at the back of my mind. So even if there was any kind of hurdle, I always took it as a challenge, or I always took it as, creative thinking. Like I had to think of something to kind of cross that. And it didn't matter so much, to me, because my eye was always on the final goal. And it still is on the final goal. Like this year it's COVID. 2 years ago, it was GST. The year before that, it was demonetization. 3 years ago, it was recession. So if you're an entrepreneur, these kind of things always happen. But you can't lose heart just because of what's happening in the external world. You have to be very clear and focused on what your life purpose is.
Wow. And that's amazing, actually. But as you were aware about it, like, you wanted to be a designer and you know your calling, like after exploring other industries. But it's not same with, the young generation, which is having right now, because even at the age of, you can say 20 to 23, they are doing post-graduation or in the graduation. They are not sure like what they have to do in future. Right. So what is the mistake which young minds are doing or young minds are making right now? And if you would like to, suggest them, or if you would like to guide them, what would be that advice according to you?
So there are two parts of this story. I was lucky enough to mentor 20 students from Pearl Academy in the summer. Okay. And this was something I was not expecting, to be honest, because I passed out many, many years ago and life has changed. There has been technology, growth, awareness, so much has changed. And what I realized was that most of these students, they were not connected to who they were. They were not connected to their life purpose. They were not connected to what they wanted to become. And they were truly lost. You're right about that. They did know that they are creative. They did know that they want to study fashion, but they have no plan for after they finish college. Even if they do have a plan, it's not clear. So there are two parts of it. One part would be the upbringing or the kind of conditioning that has been given to them by their parents. Maybe if my mother had not sat me down at the age of 10 and, had conversations with me, maybe I would have not been so clear in my life. So I thought that was missing in them. There was no compassion for what they wanted to do and achieve in life. Their parents wanted them to be somebody that they wanted them to be. Like, for example, their parents wanted them to be engineers, doctors, or, finance professionals. And they had no interest in it. So there was a mismatch there, because of which they are very lost. And the second part was they are not connected with who they are. They don't know their life purpose. They don't know their life mission. And that could also be part of the conditioning that they've had while growing up, because you tend to kind of follow what happens at home and in school. And it's different for every child and it's different for every human being. But the disconnect that you might have with yourself is something that is going to lead you to be confused throughout your life. If you're not connected within, if you don't know who you are, if you don't know what your life purpose is, then you will always be confused. Even if you choose a path that you enjoy doing, you will never be able to gain success in the manner that you want. So I think that is of utmost importance. And today there is so much awareness. Instagram is full of all of these mentors, or even if you want to look at India and look at the spiritual gurus like Sadhguru or BK Shivani, they all talk about the importance of thought, you know, how thoughts can change our life. And it's not about positive or negative thoughts. Both kind of thoughts are important, but it is the thought at the right time. So I was able to get the thought that I need a purpose in life. I need to have something to, you know, keep me, be bigger, make me feel bigger than who I am, or, you know, contribute to my personality. At the age of 10, I was able to get it. A lot of my friends didn't, you know. So I can't particularly point out and say why it does or does not happen with everybody. It happened with me, and I think it was a combination of circumstances, conditioning, and my mother. It was a combination of all three. So one of the three will be missing in, you know, in a student's life. If they have not experienced one of these three, that inner connect might not happen. And right. That is right. The number one thing that you need to do, irrespective of what age you're at. I was able to do it at 10. Mm-hmm. If you've realized it at 20, if you've realized that something's missing, I'm lost, I'm confused, then you need to look within. You need to see what is disconnected within and why is it that you're confused. The outside world cannot provide you with any answer. And the sooner you realize this, the better it will be.
That's very true, ma'am. And ma'am, as you mentioned that you are mentoring the students, so I just wanted to know like how this mentorship started from your side, and how it's going right now. Like how are you guiding them, you know, in choosing the right path?
So it was very strange. I usually don't keep interns in the factory because on a regular basis, I don't have the time to, you know, kind of sit with them or guide them because life is extremely busy. And during lockdown, obviously my factory was closed. I was at home. I didn't really know what to do. And I was having a chat with my assistant at work because, you know, I was telling him that let's kind of think of something creative to do, a collection for post-COVID. So then he suggested that June, July would be the time for internships and this would be the right time to kind of connect with them. And he said, you know, ma'am, you're a very good mentor. I have learned a lot from you. Why don't you mentor these interns? And I said, oh, really? I've never thought of myself as somebody, you know, as a good mentor. I do enjoy mentoring, but I've never thought of myself like that. So I reached out to Pearl Academy and I said, you know, why don't you send me 5 students? I like to mentor them. And my main objective would be to kind of help them bridge the gap between what college teaches you and what real life is all about. Because most of these children don't come from a background of fashion. And I came from a background of fashion. So I knew exactly what this industry was about, but these kids don't. And when they come for jobs, they are kind of clueless. They feel that whatever has been taught in college is all that they need, which is not true. The real learning starts at work. And I wanted to burst this bubble for them. And I reached out to them, and instead of 5 students, I got a batch of 20. And I didn't feel like turning down even one. So I started a mentoring course with them in the summer, teaching them about fashion, teaching them about color, about, you know, the basics of having a good eye for what the client wants, catering to the needs of the market. And from there on, I saw a lot of interest in, you know, they wanted to know my story as to what made me successful, what were the shortcuts that I used to become famous, etc. And during the course of me unraveling my story to them, they were able to ask me a lot many more questions about, you know, how they could get more clarity on choosing the right path. So I made them do a lot of exercises. The first one, the basic one, which I got a great response from them, was creating a vision board of your life and basically putting down everything that you want to achieve on that board with no expectation that it will get materialized. So the big problem that our generation today has is that they are chasing the result. They are not chasing the feeling. So I wanted them to feel for everything that they wanted in life. And I wanted them to put it on a board and create a feeling from that board, whether it was a feeling of being rich, whether it was a feeling of being successful, whether it was a feeling of being appreciated by their family, whatever it was, you know, I wanted it to put them on that board. And when I discussed the board with them individually or in class, they had never ever visualized their life. And I found this to be very weird, because from the age of 10, I always visualized my life. I could see myself as the designer. I could see myself driving that amazing car, wearing that amazing piece of jewelry, or owning that store, or being at an exhibition, or being at Fashion Week. I could always visualize it. And I found that they could not visualize what they wanted to become. So the journey started from there. I kind of pushed them to visualize their life. And this was followed by many other exercises which helped them open up their minds to actually what they really wanted in life. And a couple of them actually came back to me and said, well, we don't want to study fashion anymore. And at least two or three of them, I think, quit the course after they visualized themselves. And they said, we don't want to visualize ourselves like this. Or one student said, I want to be a stylist. I don't want to be a designer. So these are basic exercises which I think every school should incorporate within their curriculum. History, maths, geography, yes, is very important. But if you can't even visualize your life, then how are you going to plan it?
That's true, ma'am. Ma'am, in terms of visualization, can we like take the help of meditation also? Or what was the exercise which you provided them, like how to visualize yourself?
So in terms of visualization, vision board was the first one, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Vision board helps you put down everything that you want in life in terms of how you see yourself in your career. What kind of house do you want? What kind of travel plans do you have? What are your hobbies? Etc. etc. When you put all of that on a vision board, it just creates a visual of the kind of person you want to be. Okay. Meditation helps you center yourself so that any hurdle that comes your way feels smaller than the bigger picture.
Okay.
See, hurdles come in your way, just the universe puts hurdles in your way to test you. It wants to see how dedicated you are to your life purpose. Or are you doing this just for show? So hurdles is not something you need to focus on. You need to focus on the larger picture. You need to focus on your mission statement. And meditation helps you center yourself and gain that confidence that no matter what hurdle comes my way, I will be able to achieve whatever I want to achieve. Now, visualization becomes stronger once you meditate because your mind is clear. If your mind is bogged down with the kind of environment you're living in or with the kind of personality you have, and, you know, like some students ask me, can you teach us how to talk to people, how to gain confidence, how to, you know, secure the best job? Well, these are all parts of the kind of personality you have, and they are part of personality development. How will you focus on your personality if your personality is only bogging you down? So meditation helps you get centered so that all these smaller hurdles vanish. And that I recommend to everybody anyway. So that is something that you should do anyway, because today lifestyle is so cluttered, you know, that the focus is not on what you want to achieve. The focus is on what people think of you. The focus is on what people think that you should achieve. You should get married at 24 because that's the right age. You should have children at 27 because that's the right age. Is that the right age for you? That's something only you can answer. So meditation is one part of it. Being centered is what's more important. If meditation helps you get centered, then that's fantastic. And once you are centered, then obviously you can visualize better. So there are many things that you can do for visualization. If you start just by creating a vision board or even talking to yourself in the mirror every morning about what you want to achieve. These two small exercises can really help you get on track.
Wow, that's great. So ma'am, talking about your current batches, I think like you are still doing this mentorship part with the students.
Yeah, yes, yes. So my mentorship with Pearl finished about 2 months back. And then I did another course in NLP, which is called Neuro-Linguistic Programming. which is the conversation that our subconscious has with our conscious, because we tend to live a life in the conscious world, which is not exactly what we want, but what society thinks we should be. And a lot of the times we are unhappy in life because we don't listen to our subconscious, which is our gut feeling, which is what our heart wants. To be honest, I don't want to work 6 days a week. I don't want to own 7 stores. I want to have one store where I can deal with the client personally, I can give quality service, and I can make quality clothes. But society says, or my industry says, that until you have 7 stores in every city, you will not be termed as a successful designer. Do I really want that? And the fight starts there. You know, the fight starts where I am trying to balance myself between what my industry says or what society says and what I actually want. Now, this is a very random example, but most people suffer from this problem where, you know, their parents want them to become an engineer or a doctor, but internally they are creative. They're born creative. They want to do something completely different. And yet they go and they study engineering and they never pursue it. And I've met tons of people like this. Tons. You know, even when I was growing up, a lot of my batchmates in school and college, they were applying for jobs or courses which had nothing to do with their personality. So I reached out to the students and I told them, you know, that this is the kind of course I've done. Would you like to, you know, connect with me? And I'll do one specialized module of, you know, 8 sessions with you just to help you understand what your subconscious is saying to you and why you're not listening to it. What is blocking this thought? And that's the course that I'm doing with them. And I've got a great response from them. I have feedback forms where they can write in to me, tell me what they want to clear, what kind of blocks they're facing in life. And I really don't see any difference between the life I led 20 years ago when I was a teenager or when I was in my 20s compared to what they're leading. The problems seem to be the same. And I'm shocked at the fact that the problems are still the same. Why have we not been able to grow as a society? Why have we not been able to acknowledge what we want internally? And I want to kind of destroy this thought. I don't want anybody to live with this thought that they cannot achieve what they want in life, that they have to be somebody else wants them to be.
That's very rightly said, ma'am. And talking about the batch, like, I'm very curious to understand, like, what is the age group which is interested in knowing, you know, about their future and about, you know, choosing the right path?
Because it is through my students at Pearl, most of them are either at Pearl or they are friends of, you know, most of the students at Pearl. So they're all in college. They're all between 23 and 26.
Okay.
They are all at a junction where they are probably in the last year of college or second last year in college, where some of them are happy with the career choices that they've made, but they don't know what's going to lie ahead. And COVID, you know, has kind of destroyed their belief in the future, and they're kind of confused as to what's going to happen. So that is the kind of age group that I'm dealing with at the moment. But I feel that this is something that should be done at a much earlier stage. I think anything post 8th standard, this should be part of curriculum. Because that is when, like 12, I would say 12 would be 7th or 8th standard, right? Yeah. So that's when my mother started doing it with me. And that is the time when it needs to be done with every child, because that is the stage where you're changing from a girl to a woman or a boy to a man. And you start visualizing life, you know, you start developing interest in other things. And if these kind of things are put into your system at that age, you will think differently. You will not choose things in life. And I don't mean only career. I mean, even relationships, even marriage or girlfriends. You won't waste your time with people or in anything in life which is not connected to your life purpose.
That's true, ma'am. But ma'am, asking a very difficult question to you right now, that is, what is success according to you? Because, you know, it's not clear. For someone, it's about money. For someone, it's about fame. So according to you, how do you see the success? Because you have tried, like, you have achieved everything if you which you wanted in life, right? So, right. Yeah. So what is success actually?
So success is not as simple as what society thinks it is. And each person needs to understand this. It is a very individual thing. What success means to me is not necessarily what success means to you. And True. Society tries to generalize it by saying, if you have a nice house, if you have a nice car, if you have a good job, a wife and children, you are successful. But to me, that's nonsense, to be honest. I think success is anything that makes you wake up with a smile knowing that your life feels fulfilled. If you have a balance between the relationships in your life and the work that you do, you make enough money to satisfy your needs and the needs of your family, you should be successful, according to me. If you're spending 23 hours at work and you have no time for your family or your children, and they're just, you know, happy with the money that you provide for them, that is not success for me, but it might be success for somebody else. And everything in life should be a balance of love and money, of relationships. Even at work, my relationships with all my employees are like that of a family. They are not like, you know, an employee and a boss. So success to me is having successful relationships, having enough money for all my needs, wants and desires. And how much money I earn depends on how much time I put into it. So everybody gets 24 hours in a day. If I decide to put 23 hours, that's up to me. If I decide to put 5 hours, that's up to me. So I can't generalize and say that what success means to me should also mean the same for you. You have to identify with what success means to you. And you should stick with that. You should not get, you know, influenced by what society says or what family says, because you are the only one living that life. So take ownership of that life and say, I want to work only 5 hours. I don't want to work 23 hours. I don't want 5 cars. I'm happy with 1 car. And be truthful to that. So I think success for me means that, being truthful to yourself.
Amazing, ma'am. So ma'am, moving towards the last question, but it is equally important, which is, would you like to share some, you know, recommendation or tips for those? I know your course is best and I would like to recommend everyone to go for it. And do you, like, is there any charges for that course as of now?
This first course that I'm doing is pro bono, but I will be starting courses based on different kind of topics. This one, I wanted to kind of, you know, reach out to as many students to kind of understand what is it that's lacking. The one thing that I have understood is that they don't have structure in forming a goal or a life purpose or a life mission. So this particular course is targeted towards that. But I will be having different courses in the near future, which will target different results. So based on the kind of result that you want in your life, you will be able to choose the course. Having said that, I am also doing my research as to what are the other courses that I could recommend them to do. And I keep recommending my students based on as and when they reach out to me. So self-growth is a very personal thing. You know, what you might want to, the area that you might want to grow in might not be the same for another person. So unless you reach out to me and say, okay, this is what I want to do, I will not be able to help you and say, okay, look into this. You know, this might help you. I can only kind of guide you in terms of what I know. So I would definitely recommend that you search the net. There's so much available right now. My courses are customized towards the needs of my students. So I develop them differently. But there's lots that is available online. You should be clear as to what you want to learn.
Right. So the recommendations and tips are also equally important, and you also try the first course, and I am very sure that we all will be learning a lot from ma'am, as she is doing a lot of research and from her experience she can teach us a lot of things. So ma'am, lastly, like, today you see yourself as a designer or as a mentor or both?
Yeah, I'm at a very confused stage. You've asked me something very difficult. Both the professions are, you know, I'm completely attracted to both of them. Designing is something that you cannot get out of my bloodstream. Even if I'm sleeping, I'm thinking about design, or I'm thinking about how I can improve a design. And it's not limited to just clothes. It could be even a space. Like, for example, my sister's just got married and she's doing up her house. So while I'm sleeping, all I'm thinking of how I can design her house. You know, so that's something that I cannot get rid of, even if I want to. But mentorship is something that I am committed to. You know, it's something that I really want to do because I love engaging with young minds. And if they can get guidance from my experience, then why not? I mean, that will be amazing. That will absolutely be amazing if they can reach out to me and, you know, I can guide them as to, and I can solve their problems. It will be wonderful for me. And I love sharing whatever I've learned. So my courses will also be connected to fashion. It's not that I will only be doing courses regarding mentorship. They will be in fashion as well.
Wow, that's amazing, ma'am. So, well, thank you so much, ma'am, for joining in. And it was amazing talking to you and knowing so much, so many different things from you. And thank you so much for accepting this offer, ma'am.
Thank you so much for having me, Tarun. This has been a really enriching experience. I hope I'm able to reach out to many more students through you. Thanks for connecting with me.
Well, that's all from today's episode. I hope you liked it. In case if you have any suggestion or feedback, you can reach out to me at various social media handles. I'm adding the link in the description. Until next time, stay safe and stay tuned.